This is OTB AM.
This Liverpool team are going to coast to a league title. Fair enough, that's a great achievement. But that Man United team were an all-time great because they weren't playing very well early in the season.
Does Everton have to happen in the same period of time though? Did Liverpool not have those elements of that team?
They have to win the Champions League. They have to win the Champions League this year. But not if they're... To equal Manchester United's treble season, they have to win at least the Champions League in the league, right? And you could say that by not winning a cup, if they don't win a cup, then they're not... It's not as good a season. Man United are always going to be able to say, we won a treble. Did you win a treble? No.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show. Weekdays from 7.30 AM, only on OTB Sports Radio. Live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Graeme Hunter, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning, lads. Grant.
The Keanu Reeves in The Matrix is as good a description as I've heard for Leo Messi's goal. I've decided all my objectivity is gone. I just want Leo Messi to win one more Champions League. And this is it. This is the 15 days in which he has to do it. Come on, Leo.
No chance. Absolutely no chance. You're right about that. It's such an odd time. Clubs around Spain are starting their pre-season now. Barcelona haven't finished their Champions League season, a season where they haven't won anything apart from Leo Messi's Ballon d'Or, something that during Messi's career has only happened to him, I think, once, that he hasn't won a team trophy. And watching Leon dispense with Juventus, which was strange, and thinking about Cristiano Ronaldo trying to defeat the French almost single-handed or both feet in his head. And you think about his Champions League victories, whatever it's four with Real Madrid, one with United, a defeated finalist, played in all of them. And you look at Messi and the way that we talked about when he was captain, he had that speech at the Camp Nou about desiring to bring that beautiful trophy back, and it's been too long, and how many times he's talked passionately about wanting to conquer Europe, and you've never had an inkling, I swear at least, that it's about personal. He's talking as captain of Barcelona because it's been 5 years since he won the Champions League. And you think about his four medals, he only played in three finals. And in the three finals, he was devastating. You know, a goal in Wembley, a goal in Rome, and an assist in Berlin. He's one of a handful of players that's won two trebles. But you're right, he's short of Champions League final appearances, never mind victories. And as much as you're on his description, I've never seen The Matrix, so I can't, you know, go yay or nay on that one. And your enthusiasm is contagious. But he's also playing a side, Bayern, who stand to become only the second club after Barcelona to win two trebles because they've wrapped everything up domestically. I think that although I've tipped City to win this, I would understand if people told me out-and-out Bayern Munich are favourites because of their squad, because of their athletic prowess, physicality. I think that that gives them... Certainly, I think that it will give them the edge over football club Barcelona. I'm really pleased that, given that I live and work in Spain, I'm really pleased you enjoyed the Barcelona-Napoli tie so much. And the first half was extremely interesting. Messi did special things. But I'll own up that if Barcelona were to go through, even in these odd circumstances, in a one-off match against Bayern Munich, it would be one of the big surprises of my working life.
I mean, the functionality of this, and look at me reaching for my tropes and stereotypes of this Bayern team at the moment. Like, I can completely see how you make the case that they're exactly what Barcelona don't need this week, that they need something completely different from that. And at the same time, it's reached that point now where we're going to end up with Messi going, Ronaldo ended up winning more Champions Leagues than him. And how did Barcelona screw this up to the point where they couldn't build a team every year that made him semi-finalist as opposed to every year making him quarter-finalist? And I don't know. This is, like, because of the weirdness of this, he's just got to win two more games and then he's in the final and then he's got to win it. I know he's going to win it when he makes it to the final.
Genuinely, I think that when we watched, you invited me on your program regularly when Barcelona were at their absolute peak. And whether you liked them or didn't, or supported other clubs, or maybe they turned over your team in Europe, the fact was that broadly they were admired. They set new standards for a brand of football, which was a little bit, it wasn't alien, but they imposed a style of football that began to inspire and educate all around them, whether it was fans or commentators, or whether it was coaches and other young players, and they were to be copied. They were inspirational. I think that's a fair word. Even at the absolute apogee of that football, their most articulate students, Xavi, for example, but most of them would say, if we're not at our physical best, then we'll be beaten. We play a brand of football whereby, number one, we're not special athletes. Number two, the majority of us are small, some of which still holds true. And we have to be perfect. Otherwise, a decent side, which is more athletic, which is more brawny than us, which is maybe in better tone than us, will beat us. That was at their apogee. I remember being struck by, because whether it comes across or not, you even when you get good quotes, good interviews from leading players or managers, you try and weigh them up and go, okay, those are good words, but do I believe them? And I remember at Euro 2012, getting unusually productive time with Xavi in the midst of a hectic summer, and talking to him, asking him about the 7-0 Bayern defeat. And look, hey ho, look who we're talking about again, Bayern Munich. When Bayern Munich had pumped Barcelona 4-0 in Bavaria and then 3-0 at the Camp Nou. And I asked him about that, and he said the most clear-cut thing. He said, it was a fluke, it was an anomaly. It was the meeting of a team which was athletically and physically in absolutely great shape, and another team which was not, which was done, which was cooked. And he said, it doesn't represent what the two teams were like. And within whatever it was, 2 years, they'd beaten Bayern Munich 3-0 at home in that massive game when Messi and Neymar and Suarez were sensational, and they scored 3 goals in the last 15 minutes, and the gap had beautifully closed because they were in physically good condition, and they imposed their skills again. And what I'm saying now is I think that I don't expect a 7-0, but I do think that we're at a replica point where Barcelona on form, if you go back to how they finished the season against Alaves 5-0 away from home. Alaves didn't really turn up. But if you look at the Villarreal game post-restart, it was scintillating. It was absolutely beautiful. 45 minutes worth. Well, they took time to warm up. Let's say 39, 40 minutes of the first half against Napoli was really pretty special. And then they tired and City made a pig's breakfast of what to do next. He, you know, for as much as when he gets players who obey him, who owe their living to him, he can produce a brand of football and an intelligence of football, which is really attractive. Setien, I don't have any doubts, is a cult with a clear view of football, and when it comes off, it's very attractive. But boy, oh boy, he's lost in handling this squad. It didn't make substitutes early enough, didn't make sufficient substitutes as the team was running out of gas. So you cast ahead based on what we've seen since restart. And even though Busquets will come back, Vidal will come back, and even though there's now an outside chance that Dembele has some impact on the tie, the difference in athleticism and stamina, given that Bayern is packed with exceptional footballers too, boy, for as much as football is drama, for as much as football will ram your words right back down your throat, I fail to see how Bayern can tie their laces together and fall over in this tie.
Okay, that has my balloon firmly popped this morning. Right.
Sorry, Chair. Sorry, yeah.
That's fine. OTBN live in association with Gillette this morning. Good morning. Start with Gillette, giving you the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Our guest is Graham Hunter. Graham, the other story that's happened over the last 24 hours is a couple of positive tests for Atletico Madrid. Do we know yet if they are first-team regulars, if they're first-team players, if this is going to have an impact on whether or not the game goes ahead? What do you think is likely to happen here?
We don't know for certain because nobody has come out from the club and said, here is our situation. Apart from the fact there was a 93-person travelling squad to go to Lisbon, it's been delayed a day because the two tests, Jared, being careful, I think we can deduce that the heavy likelihood is that it's playing staff because the players were prioritised in the testing order. And we know that there are some testing results to come in today from the same process, which are to do with the technical staff and people of a variety of kit men. So, again, I'm going to be a little bit surprised if it doesn't prove to have been playing staff just because they were first in the testing order. I hope I'm wrong. The two people have been isolated at home. Now, it's nothing to do with Atleti what happens in terms of does the game go ahead at the moment, because UEFA have said that if there are 13 available footballers, a tie will take place. So at the moment, we're not looking at any danger numerically. The danger is to the well-being of, within that squad, the well-being of the people in Lisbon who are putting this this mini tournament on. Clearly Leipzig come into this equation too. So there are incognitos. We're used to footballers or coaches getting this and coming through it no problem. It doesn't mean it will always be the case. So I guess our first worry is that whoever the two guys who are infected with this damn virus are, that they stay well and healthy. Beyond that, it does look as if there will still be, unless there are serious new developments in the tie, by the rules, the tie is going to go ahead. But we are in a state of a little bit of anxiety until we find out the results of the remainder of the tests. That will come during today.
Okay, so we'll keep a watching brief on that one. We should talk about the other big managerial appointment that happened over the weekend. Sarri gets sacked and suddenly people are like, oh, Mauricio Pochettino, come on down, this is your time. And before even he's like buttoning up his coat to go for the interview or checking to see if his phone is charged, Andrea Pirlo sweeps in and takes the gig.
Do you know, it's interesting. I don't know whether I've ever introduced you to him or him to you, but I have a great friend, Aurelio Capaldi, in Rai Uno, who was telling me last week that he thought Juventus were playing terribly, that he had good sources within the club who told him very firmly that Agnelli was ultra unimpressed with Sarri in terms of his behaviour, in terms of his manner. And I said, listen, after so long out, Lyon shouldn't be able to put Juventus away. And Aurelio told me, look out, there's a potential problem here. It was ultra narrow in the end. You'd have normally backed, I think, with enough time in hand after Ronaldo's second to get the third and go through. They didn't. At that point, I think the most powerful family in the history of Italian football, the Agnellis, had long decided that if Sarri couldn't take them through, then he was going to be gone. It strikes me that poor Pochettino shouldn't have been taking his elegant Gucci jacket out of the wardrobe, never mind buttoning it up, because Pirlo was clearly on their minds. I have no idea whether he's going to prove to be an adequate coach or not, but the word fit comes in because whether analytically it's the right time for this squad and Pirlo, whether he's got the talent that equates to how elevated his presence on a football pitch, all of that remains to be seen and remains to be proven, even to himself. But Agnelli patently wanted a fit between the guy who was standing on the touchline, the guy who was running the training sessions, in terms of understanding what Juventus is, manner, history, attitude. And Pirlo represents that. And Sarri's odd because he left Chelsea with the same, how can I say it, lads? The same way to which people became exasperated with him. Not his playing style, which is still, when it functions, again, a little bit like City. In fact, I wish I'd drawn that comparison earlier. The ability to handle small to medium clubs who can play football that draw oohs and ahs from attracted onlookers. That seems to unite Sarri and City. And the ability to handle the pressure and the very specific, sometimes idiosyncratic demands of the hierarchy clubs in football, neither City nor Sarri seem to quite have that mastered.
It's interesting, Graham, how the comparisons immediately go to the likes of Pep Guardiola and Zinedine Zidane when Andrea Pirlo gets this job. Like, if you are comparing the situations, it does seem that the conditions are a little bit different, especially to how Pep was brought through at Barcelona, that Pirlo hasn't exactly had the time to bed in, get to know the fabric of the football club through the prism of being a coach or a manager for a prolonged period of time.
Oh, and I think there's something nice in what you said, in that having witnessed at pretty close hand Guardiola and Zidane, you would too automatically divide the two of them and say that, irrespective of their iconic status as footballers, which I know why you're comparing them to Pirlo, they even initially were extremely different coaches. And to this day, I don't think Zidane, who went, if you remember, as a trainee coach down to Bavaria to ask Pep Guardiola, can I come and watch a few days training at Sabenerstrasse, which Pep obviously did because he worshipped Zidane. The things that divide those two men as coaches, before we talk about Pirlo, there are more of those than unite them. But the thing that unites Pep and Zidane is that they have this hypnotic effect on big players. And they are able to galvanize big footballers who are maybe, I don't know, in a trough, or maybe are a little bit off their best, or need just reorientation, redirection. Pirlo should have that. Pirlo, irrespective of how he played, is widely understood to be extremely intelligent, articulate, okay, a little bit reserved, but what comes out is high quality. His personality off the pitch matches the absolute special iconic nature of his football on the pitch. You talked about he doesn't have a year coaching at B team level, which Pep Guardiola did and benefited from. Zidane had a little bit of that, but he was also equal second coach with Paul Clement to Ancelotti. So both of them, yeah, had more experience. But a key element in what has made Zidane and Guardiola trophy winners, serious trophy winners in their first season, second season, instant effect, is personality. And that isn't enough on its own. But if you don't have it, particularly at a huge demanding club like Juventus, then you're in trouble. So Pirlo will have that unites the three of them. But as you point out, only he can know whether he's already mastered sufficiently the way to convert his playing ideas into daily work, and then that daily work, even with assistant coaches around him, into winning football. I guess we would all hope that he does have it.
Yeah, I mean, you really want to see him be successful, and it's going to be very interesting to see what sort of transfer business they do and whether or not all of a sudden Cristiano is available or wants to leave because he either gets on or doesn't get on, or who knows what's going to happen, how they can find a role for him. I did want to ask you just about something that Graeme Souness said on the show on Friday, talking about how ultimately at some point Gareth Bale is going to wake up and go, what did I do that for? When it comes to the end, when he's looking back and he thinks about his short period of time when he was one of the world's great athletes and had the world at his feet, he decided that his lifestyle and his family life was more important than chasing medals. And when he said it, it made a lot of sense, I thought. What did you make
watching,
of it?
I was watching, and it's typical, you know, you get good guests, you get good interviews. And I really enjoy Graham's point of view. And to be honest with you, I share a lot of his ideas and his meters for making judgments. I don't think what Graham said will come true with Gareth Bale, because he's constructed in a very alien way. I have believed for a long time, and there's no criticism in my voice whatsoever, because he has been an exceptional athlete, and his trophy record and his wealth will amount to him being able to say, you know, I don't care what you all think in 5 minutes and in 5 years and in 15 years. But he's one of these anomalies whereby he thinks he's doing enough. He, without question, wishes he'd been born with the golf ability that he's got in terms of football. I think he's one of these guys who might say eventually, I wish I'd played more. I wish I'd actually, because he patently still enjoys, or he thinks he's got a right to live as he's living now and still be treated as an elite athlete and an elite footballer by Zidane, and he's bewildered. And it may be eventually that he grows up and goes, well, I could have handled that differently. But I don't think he'll ever change from the guy who says, it's okay to play golf whenever I want, even though the club don't want me to, and even though I have a poor history with the explosive twitch fibres around my, you know, valuable frame. It doesn't matter that golf is a different kind of sport that might be affecting the way in which my ability to avoid injuries or my ability to be rehabilitated quickly from the type of injuries I get. He doesn't see that anomaly. And I think because he yearns so much to be the level of quality golfer that he is as a footballer, I don't see him repenting. And I just think he's constructed the reverse from Graham Souness. And Sui was like, this is what I want. This is what I want. And it fitted with football, is my view.
We're more likely to see him on the seniors tour than playing for Manchester United or Spurs or Liverpool or Arsenal at some point in the future.
I guess we might, and good luck to him, but I find it odd, and I find it unpalatable is too strong, but I think he's mishandling something that a talent we'd all love to have.
Yeah.
Therefore, I wish I could respect him more because he's a gorgeous footballer, but I think he's doing the wrong thing. I just think that Sui was talking about himself rather than the Gareth that we've all grown to know and be puzzled by.
I think that's the diagnosis. All right. So, look, can I get quick fire predictions for Atalanta versus Paris Saint-Germain?
Yeah, as much as Atalanta are attractive, I saw them tired at the end of their season. I think that Paris Saint-Germain, with Mbappe starting to train again, probably win that.
Leipzig, Atletico?
Until the news yesterday, I had no question whatsoever that Atleti would go through there. And I'm going to say, barring it being Oblak and another key player, Koke, barring it being them, if Oblak's fit, Atleti go through.
You've predicted Bayern are going to beat Barcelona. And City against Lyon, did City see anything in the game against Juve where they're like, ooh, that's not us? We don't know.
I was pretty convinced by what Pep said about watch out for Rudy Garcia's tactics. Look at what the trouble they caused us last season. And I think that City needed to do more to look like the champions I've tipped them to be against Real Madrid. I wanted to see an extra spurt, an extra oomph and a crispness about their play. But I still think that they beat Lyon. And you know, I think that the winner of the tournament comes from what will be the August 19 semi-final between City and Bayern Munich.
Graham, great to have you with us. Enjoy the week. Thanks a million, man.
Cheers, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
The OTB Podcast Network with Virgin Media. Catch all of the UEFA Champions League and Europa League games live on Virgin Media TV.